Paul's House and Storm's House. It's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
It's a put-on! He's a lemonade strut! This is Paul.
This is Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, on average. No, we didn't change the name of the podcast. Just on average. It's Tuesday evening, November the 3rd, 2009.
This is show 063. I am once again recording from an undisclosed location on my crappy laptop built-in microphone, so I apologize for the lousy sound quality in my recording, but Storm will make up for it by having beautiful, mellifluous tones.
Yes, I'm feeling quite resonant tonight.
Even, I dare say, a bit orotund.
Ooh, wow, how about that little word?
Don't get to use that word nearly often enough in a conversation, mainly because I don't spend much time talking about Brian Blessed, who is the personification of orotund.
I guess he is.
Yes, and that is the front runner right off the bat for the title of this podcast.
Just orotund.
No, just the personification of orotund, which sounds like a Robert Ludlum novel or something.
So we're flying like completely by the seat of the pants tonight.
We are. We're like, hey, let's podcast, and then suddenly we're podcasting, so...
I guess it's slightly less seat of the pants as the last one in which some of us were inebriated and all of us were in a sauna.
And none of us were wearing pants. Those swim trunks abounded, but there were no real pants. So to be whose seats to be flown by? Did I? However that would go.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The thing is, that's kind of a semantic point, kind of like the pajama jammy.
Yeah, I suppose debate. That's true.
240 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. It seems that inebriation and saunas are good for recruiting, so we'll do more of that in the future.
Absolutely.
If it comes up.
Yeah. You know what? I would expand it even to steam rooms as well.
Any steam-oriented activity.
Or like a sweat lodge would be okay.
Right, or with the sweat hogs.
Yes.
And the whole podcast will just be like, up your nose with a rubber hose.
And then, and then you'll be all like, boom, 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 boom.
Wow, I don't think I like it when I don't do any planning.
No, you're feeling a little discombobulated, aren't you?
Yeah, well, at least I usually have a general idea of where I should send my mind.
We do have a general idea of where we're going because this is the podcast we have long promised wherein we would speak of Wootstock. Because we have not done that.
That's past and present and future. No, we haven't. I guess the last that we discussed it, we were dropping coy hints as to who and what might happen at Wootstock. For those who don't know, which might be like four of you, Wootstock is the geeky, festy show that we put together with Will Wheaton and with Adam Savage and guest artists that is... I don't know. It's been described a bunch of ways. It's almost like a geek vaudeville review or sort of a like the internet compressed onto a stage as live performance.
Or expanded onto a stage even.
Yeah, well, compressed and then expanded. It was zipped into a zip file.
And then unzipped.
Yeah, yeah.
Put into a tarball and then taken back out.
So it's happened now, at least the 1.x version of Wootstock.
Yes, the first iteration is in the can. We've done a great deal of describing of it already on our website. We did a whole post about it. Will Wheaton has done one as well, among other folks. So I don't know that we'll go too much into the particular details per se. A quick rundown of the guest artists is due, I guess. There were three shows.
Right, and then we'll give our personal impressions.
And so just to give everyone their due, It was three shows, two nights in San Francisco, one in Los Angeles. On the first night, the Monday night, it was, of course, ourselves and Will and Adam. We also had Molly Lewis, singer, songwriter, ukulele player, and all-around adorable person. Then we also had Casper Hauser, the comedy troupe from the Los Angeles area, and Kid Beyond, a live looper, beatboxer, game inventor, raconteur, video mashup, and analysis-er, and all-around interesting guy. The second night was the same lineup minus Casper Hauser, and then the third night in Los Angeles was ourselves, Will and Adam, Molly again, Jeff Lewis, who plays Vork on the Guild web series, Hard and Firm, comedy music duo and sometime fake rival of Paul and Storm. Joshua,
well, go ahead. They're real fake rivals. They're not like, you know, computer generated.
Yeah, no, they weren't. They weren't like invented rivals. Just the rivalry itself was invented.
Right.
Josh Kagan, who is a screenwriter, wrote the movie Band Slam from this summer. Those of you who have 12-year-old daughters probably know that movie. Did some very funny video analysis. And, of course, Felicia Day and Sandeep Parikh, also of the Guild web series, did a special little guest spot. And those were the players. And I will turn the mic over to you, Storm, to talk about your impressions or thoughts or anything that occurs to you to discuss of Woodstock.
I'm going to start. I've been monitoring the Twitter feed from my elaborate communications array. And it's full of, like, antennas and stuff. And Muse of Chaos asked, was there anything that didn't happen at Woodstock that you wish had? And I choose that as sort of my opening thing, because the answer is no. And, like, when you and I were first discussing it in this very overheated, you know, quick, fast-paced, like we packed 10 hours of conversation into about an hour when we were originally talking about what this show might be.
Yep.
And then it expanded even more when you talked to Will. And there are all these awesome things that we thought might work, like the video clips or getting really cool guest artists or, you know, getting Adam Savage, you know, to do it in the first place. And I guess going into the weekend, it was weird. It's like, I sort of felt like it was gonna work just fine, but I thought there would be things that might not work or things that wouldn't come across well, or that as a whole it may not end up being this great love fest type thing. But absolutely everything worked. And the amazing thing was that, like, acts and movie clips were chosen deliberately to be very different from each other. And really, it was Will's introduction to the whole show. The way the show worked was Will came out and gave about a five-minute invocation, if you want to call it that, just sort of an introduction about what Woodstock is. The text of it is available online, I believe, and you could probably find a video of it. But it just set the mood so well.
Yep.
And not in a way that said, you know, we're just going to do anything, ha, ha, ha. But no, the real meaning of it, which is these things were selected because they do go together, even though they're different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is a common bond, not just from the performers, but the folks in the audience.
Yeah.
All of whom were, you know, it wasn't like they were clones of each other physically or in any other way.
Yep.
So that's my opening observation.
Yeah.
Opening observation.
Long ago, back in our Da Vinci's Notebook days in our old band, we used to host an a cappella festival every year at this outdoor place in Northern Virginia. And there was a time, I don't remember if all of us talked about it or just the two of us talked about it, how we had at a certain point wanted to just turn it into like a music festival based around bands that we liked.
Right, curated by us.
Yeah, like just sort of a general thing curated by us, just stuff we thought was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And this actually really, it didn't occur to me until today, actually, thinking about what to talk about in the podcast, how this really sort of became that. I mean, not that it was all came from us. You know, Will and Adam absolutely had tons of input as well, but it ended up basically being this gathering of people that the three of us, or four of us technically, all thought was awesome. and interesting, and I was excited to and you know certainly hoped that that would hold up as a bill for that people would actually enjoy, and it really managed to do so quite well. I was very thrilled with that, and makes me feel like my tastes are not terrible, or at least matched up with the, you know, various hundreds of people that showed up at these shows, so I don't feel so bad.
That reminds me of another thing that I really loved about the whole experience, both in terms of the audience and in terms of the performers, you know, more about the performers, but not that it was just like a mutual admiration society thing, but just meeting some people that we hadn't really interacted with live, and then watching people that we know meet each other and see what they do. I'm thinking most especially of our friend Molly Lewis, Sweet Afton 23, known to many by that, and just seeing people really enjoying each other perform, and exactly what you were saying, like doing the head nod, going, I knew it, I knew you'd love that, and I know that people, when they come to see us or Jonathan, that they like that, when they're in the audience looking around and saying, yeah, you know, it's not just that it's validation, it's just like, yes, yes.
It's like, you know, I would like to think people have this instinct, not just me, how like when you really like a thing and you want to show it to your friends or share it with your friends and really want them to like it, you know, to the point where you get a little mad or disappointed if they don't like it. This was sort of that concept writ large to me.
I'm going to break for a second because that's a great observation. But I'm wondering, is there anything like that in your past, Paul, that was either something that you, maybe it was a childhood thing that you shared with your friends that they thought was stupid and it made you really mad?
No, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head particular. I'll twist it a little bit. One thing that I have been catching some crap for recently is my wife and I and kids all enjoy the television show Glee. It's on this season. And, you know, by no means do I think it is even a particularly good show. It is very flawed, and it has lots of problems and tonal variations out the wazoo. But that being said, I still enjoy it, and it charms the hell out of me. And this boggles Colton's mind. Colton gives me lots of crap for enjoying Glee. That's a recent experience I can point to. It's not a scarring childhood experience, but we've had many many pretend arguments that sort of have a little. Not pretend underneath them.
Oh, sure. There's always a little truth under the pretend argument.
Yeah. How about yourself?
Well, the 10-minute mark was about
3 minutes ago. How about yourself? Any moments of sharing that blew up in your face?
Nothing from childhood. I'm sure if I thought about it, I'd be able to think about some. My mind's just not operating that efficiently right now.
Yeah.
But in a similar vein, there are two things. One, I've mentioned it before, the television show Supernatural. I've never mentioned that show to anybody and had them go, oh yes, I enjoy that. And frankly, it's jumping the shark a bit now. But speaking of Jonathan,
turn around here and turn off the air conditioner. The heater that just kicked in and made a lot of noise there. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's right. I totally didn't hear that. But when we were in Chicago, I've sung the praises of Chicago some on the podcast, having always enjoyed going there and then vacationing there. And you and Jonathan were just brutal on me when we went. I know I can be sort of an officious know-it-all about things that I love. I know that. But you guys were hysterical, actually.
We were
with the constant stream of fake Chicago facts.
Constant stream of wrong Chicago items.
Oh, not even close to right. But, you know, just framed just well enough, like, you know, the famed architect Frank Lloyd Wright had the highest high dive back when the steel pier,
yes,
you know, existed.
Yes. That and of course, there's the Juicy Fruit building.
Right.
And, you know, just lots of things like that. And it's funny, like all of us, again, and I'd like to think it's more than just us, but certainly I, you know, can fall into a thing of, you know, you enjoy a thing and you want to share fact, you know, you share facts and your love of that thing.
Yeah.
Much like you know, you have a particular love of Chicago, to the point of where I have heard you say, you know, that you would love to, you know, you would greatly enjoy living there.
Yeah, or most certainly if I had an abundance of money, it would be awesome to have, like, an apartment for the summer there.
Right, yes. And it would sort of spill out here and there, like we would drive past a street and be, oh, yes, if we go a few blocks down that way, it's the Little Nordberg District or whatever.
No, the Little Nordberg District is far outside of downtown.
Right. But you know what I mean. Little things like that would spill out, and we just we took to it like dogs to the chew toy. And baited you to no end. I just felt good because it was no longer my turn. Hadn't you guys been giving me crap about something recently? I know it wasn't. Besides Glee, there was something else.
Well, we all have things. And like when we were in New Haven, we were on Jonathan a little bit about his nostalgia for the old stomping grounds.
His Yale days. But we digress.
Back to Woodstock.
Back to Woodstock. For those who have been asking, we have said it, but we will say it again. Yes, there will be more Woodstocks. No, there are none officially scheduled yet. There are lots of logistics to figure out, scheduling issues, obviously. But we absolutely wish to do more Woodstocks. We wish to bring them to various cities across the U.S., maybe beyond, who knows. But it's going to take a while. We promise as soon as we have information on such things, we will share it.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This is a pretty obvious audience participation, but what would you want to see at Woodstock and where? We have an eventful widget.
Yes.
That's on our website, where, and also if you go to woodstock.net, tell us.
And we'll repost that widget at the bottom of the posting for this podcast. So if you go to paulandstorm.com, you'll see it there. That is the most effective way to let us know where you would like us to be, and you can walk through that. But also, you know, feel free to chime in with ideas of, you know, people and things. One of my favorite parts of Woodstock was one of the things Kid Beyond, our friend, is also an avid gamer and game inventor. And he actually developed a sort of an interactive portion of Woodstock where he held a little contest where he had people come up with, what's the word? Not brand, brand names or develop products for...
Yeah, product names.
Yeah, and what he would do is he would take two sort of, you know, opposed or unrelated concepts and put them together, like a perfume for Catholics or go ahead.
No, that was it.
Oh, okay, yeah, or like a shampoo for Buddhists or... a candy for vampires or whatever, you know, he'd had four or five different things like that, and people all had
a suppository for pets.
Yeah.
well maybe not a suppository for pets.
No, although that would be good. But then, and there, everybody had a card under their seat and they could write down their ideas, and at the end of the night he gave out awards for the best ones. I really enjoyed that sort of aspect of it, because people were really funny. Like, I was genuinely laughing my head off at people's answers at the end of the night. And I love that our audience is that smart. You know,
geeks,
I don't think you could
nerds
pull that off at an Insane Clown Posse concert quite in
the
same way.
Well, you could do it, but it would all be like, you know, butt burger, ha 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 ha.
That's the front runner for the title of this podcast.
My phone beeped at me.
That's okay. Oh, you got somebody calling you?
It's just a tell us something or other. It's not my wife, so I don't feel compelled to answer.
Fair enough. What else was I going to say? Something germane. So there will be more Woodstocks. Tell us what you'd like to see. Another thing I greatly enjoyed was people enjoying the... Let me rewind. I greatly enjoyed the filmed segments in between.
Yep.
We had a lot of little short films that we interspersed. I loved how they went over. but it speaks to a larger issue of, I wish it could be longer.
Yeah.
Interestingly, like it's a tough balance. You know, we face the same thing with shows we do with Jonathan, of how long a show can be where people just flat out start to get tired. Like, even though they're enthusiastic and really enjoy, you know, Jonathan Colton audiences would sit there for 5 hours if he was willing to perform for 5 hours. But at a certain point, there's obvious diminishing returns and people start getting a little weary, and you can feel it and hear it sense it from the stage.
Yeah. Even if they're there, they're not quite as engaged. And, you know, at the end, certainly there's a last energy push. But yes, there is a fall off.
And that's sort of one of the frustrating things about this. We had programmed them to last roughly 3 hours. Each night ended up going about 3.5.
And it was right about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like even though they did run over, it was sort of within, like, the range.
It was within operational parameters, right.
And then there was a meet and greet afterwards, which, you know, went on for like 45 minutes or an hour, which was terrific.
Yes, those were fabulous.
Which is was nice.
But it felt like that was probably about as long as the night should go. And even at 3.5 hours, granted there was, you know, a 15, 20, 25-minute intermission in there, but even at that length, it felt like we were sort of rushing to cram stuff in.
Yeah.
Like, I would have loved to get 2 or 3 more acts in, or, you know, some more short films, or everybody can go a little longer. And it's just, it's funny how, you know, it surprised me even going in and expecting it, how much I wish we could have done more with them.
Well, I think the formula worked as it should have. Like, there's the old axiom in show business, always leave them wanting more.
Yep.
And I thought that applied well to every segment. Like, I wanted to see more of everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, at the end of the night, you had that feeling of, wow, you know, this could go on forever, and I would just sit here and watch it, or, you know, be backstage and watch it.
Yep.
But that, you know, that I think it's a sign that that we got it right.
Yeah, I will give you your props at this point. You pushed hard early and often for the intermingling of acts. And
yes.
Not that I thought it was a bad idea by any stretch, but I wasn't as, I didn't feel it as necessary. So, you know, I certainly put it lower on the priority list. And then, you know, you were pushing, you and Will were putting your heads together for us to do a This American Lifening, if you will, of his story, The Trade.
Yep.
And, you know, I enjoyed it. I got it. And I thought it would be all right until we hit the stage, and then it was sort of, you know, to coin a cliche, it was like magic fell out onto the stage. It was just so much fun. We could tell Will was really enjoying himself, and as he described it on his post on his website, it was unrehearsed enough that sort of there was lots of room for unexpected things to happen.
Yep.
And I really, you know, big ups to you for making that happen, because it was absolutely a highlight of the week for me, was each time doing that bit.
Well, thank you. It was for me too. And going back to what we talked about earlier, that's the flip side, something that, you know, I really wanted to happen, that I was so thrilled when you and of course Will, and then the audience liked it. Like that first moment when we did the first little musical bit and the audience got it right away, what was happening.
Yep.
And then when we put, you know, we had some Star Wars references in there, and the way Will took that and ran with it.
Yeah. Oh, and this is all up on YouTube. There's a couple different versions of it, I think both from LA and San Francisco. You can just run a search for YouTube, Will Wheaton Wootstock. I'm sure you can find it, rather than us go through and explain what was going on.
But yeah, the idea that it's sort of like, you know, the episodes of Laverne and Shirley when the Fonz showed up.
Yeah.
It was always, you know, it was always cool when that happened.
Yep.
Or, you know, when the Marvel comic characters, they have the crossover issues. That it's just cool to see it framed in a different way. And it's like a exponentialing of energizers.
Mm-hmm.
So
and,
that was fun.
Yeah. So yay for that. I'm trying to think if I have anything else particularly useful to say about it that I haven't already put in a post or on a Twitter or anything. As I say, there are tons of pictures and videos if you go on Flickr and YouTube and the blogosphere and the Webernets.
Oh, I know.
Go ahead.
a fun thing for us all to do.
Sure.
And this would be more of a if you weren't there or haven't seen any of this stuff, well, you've probably tuned out by now.
Mm-hmm.
But Adam Savage, his thing was his things of 100 wishes.
Yeah, it was like presentation. 100, yeah, it's 100 wishes.
100 things that he just really wishes that he could do or see or have or share, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it along with a slide presentation that was very, very funny. So not that, you know, we're going to do 100 wishes or even one right now, but there's a possible thing for y'all to think about. Let's say, you know, 5 wishes that you can get. Geeky wishes, as it turns out, like Adam's first one that he had was he wants a lightsaber.
Yeah.
You know?
And his last one was he wanted Chewbacca as his co-pilot.
And it wasn't all Star Wars. Some of it was kind of touching stuff. Like
yeah.
He wants to do a movie with his wife,
yep.
You know, just stuff, some things that are possible, some that were obviously not possible.
Yep.
Which I think was a really nice way to close the night. He was the last act.
Yeah,
I
was absolutely thrilled with it as well. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, beyond being funny at times and engaging, it had a lot of heart to it. Not that there wasn't a lot of heart throughout the night, but it was the right touch.
Yeah, it was the right tone to set before we all came out and did an epic 15-minute version of The Captain's Wife's Lament.
Which was another favorite thing, just watching Adam and Will sort of dig into it night
yep.
after night.
Yeah, and not to say that it was bad in San Francisco by any stretch, but by that third night in Los Angeles, we were talking about this before, they really sort of were fully into the flow of how we run that song, so to speak, and the audience interaction and the banter back and forth. And I had a comedy boner and a geek
yeah.
boner in Los Angeles that night we were doing it. And it, like, you know, it was the longest version I think we've ever done of that song. And I still felt like it didn't by any stretch go too long. Everybody was into it and it was funny and it kept developing. And that was a blast.
Like
that's also on YouTube.
It was like a terrific badminton match.
Yes. Thank you. That's an excellent, excellent metaphor or simile since you said like.
The shuttlecock, she was a flying.
She was. Yeah, and here's another, I'll give one last impression from the Wootstocks. Like, not that I expected anybody to be a jerk, but if
mm-hmm.
you interact with enough people, especially in show business, you would think you will eventually run into somebody who just rubs you the wrong way. Or
yep.
you just sort of, you know, not even you hate them, but you just don't get along with them very well, you have nothing in common, or whatever the reason. I marveled at the fact that, A, everyone was ridiculously nice. I mean, we'd met almost everyone before we'd performed, so we knew they were nice people. But everyone, not only were they nice and easy to work with, but everybody got along with everybody. You know, we
yeah.
would see before each show or during each show, when people weren't performing, they'd be standing around backstage and all these different iterations, and everybody was just having great, funny, interesting conversations with everybody else, and
all right, I have a confession then.
Uh-oh.
So it was great to finally meet Hard and Firm.
Uh-huh.
And I have to confess, I have a complete man crush on Firm.
I think we all have a man crush on Mike Furman.
I think the world does. Even if you're a woman, you probably have a man crush in addition to the regular crush.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, you know, Chris Hardwick is great and he's hilarious and he's
oh,
adorable.
Yes.
But Mike
yep.
Furman's got that stealth charisma happening. He sits back. He's the Storm of the Paul and Storm group, of the Hard and Firm group, I mean, I think, in that he sort of sits back more like a sniper.
He's like
Hardwick slash Paul does his shotgun approach of
yep.
of grabbing attention wherever he can and throwing things at the wall to see what sticks. And he just sort
yep.
of fires off his carefully aimed shots here and there and has a much higher hit rate.
But if you meet him in person, you'll find that Mike Furman is like 100 favorite uncles rolled into one.
There's the front runner for the podcast title.
So there you have it. He even pulled that quarter from behind the ear trick.
Did he really? Did he do
no,
the thing where his
no,
thumb, like,
no,
you know,
no.
it's like thumb, like, breaks apart?
He did the gotcha nose. No, he didn't do any of those things.
But he could have, and you would have found it charming.
He was prepared to it any second, I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't doubt it. So there, I think that's a reasonable nutshell for Woodstock to be in, or Woodstock 1.x.
Oh, this time it is my wife on the phone.
Oh, well,
why don't you wrap it up, Polly?
I'll go ahead and wrap it up. You'll either come back or you won't.
Okay.
Because we also have a European trip coming up. Ed Storm is gone now. Oops. Oh, there. Nope, he's not gone yet.
I don't know how to switch this thing. It's speakerphone. Yeah, I hung up. No.
Hit flash. Wait. Hit talk. Anything. Well, we'll do our mutual wrap up real quick, and then I'll do a finishy wrap up.
Okay.
Let's do this part first. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Wait, you have more you're doing?
Well, I was gonna wrap up the UK tour that's coming up.
Oh, gotcha. I'll go do things. I'm out.
There we go. I'll move that to the end of the podcast, or I'll copy it and put it there again. How's that? Oh, excellent. Okay, so we'll save that part. excuse me. So we have a trip coming up this week to the UK and Ireland. We're going to be in Dublin, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Manchester. Oh, and I do believe I have lost Storm. Yes, indeed, he has hung up on me, so I will wait for him to call back while I continue the list. Manchester, London, and Bristol. You can go to paulandstorm.com to find all of that schedule.
Yep.
What else? Now this is weird because I'm sitting in a room talking alone, just like I was before, but now that I don't have a piece of electronics pressed to my ear, it feels awkward and strange.
All right, I'm back.
All of those shows are with Jonathan Colton.
I'm going to attempt to call him back.
Go to the website. I said that already. UK, I don't know how many people are currently in the Brigade of Minions,
so
but there's
awesome.
A few more than there
Storm's
were last time.
Awesome
go to paulandstorm.com once again to
blow,
find
blow,
out how
blow,
to join
blow.
The Brigade of Minions. We've updated the panties page recently. We're closing in on, I believe, 400 pairs of panties when all is said and done. And there is Storm calling back. And here is Storm.
Hey, I'm back.
You're back in my ear. I was just commenting how strange and awkward it is to be sitting in a room talking alone, even though that's just what I was doing before, but without you here in my ear, it's far more awkward.
Isn't that weird? Because there are stretches where either of us will be talking much by themselves for 5 minutes,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
But just the fact that that's the trick is, like, when doing a solo cast of strongly picturing someone, you know,
yep.
In front of you or on the other end. Anyway,
yep.
I don't know. I have no idea what you were talking about.
That's okay. I basically just went over the UK trip, so that's coming up. We have a few last dates in the US in December, which are going to be respectively in Philadelphia, Annapolis, and Pittsburgh, and then Brooklyn. And then we got a bunch of stuff coming up in 2010, and that about wraps up that part of it. And
reiterate.
I did the Minions, did the
did
the panties page. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, even though we sort of did it before, I'm Storm.
And I am still Paul.
And we really have been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Nom des gars, Sylvania beats Sonny again?
This time I mean it. Go do things.